Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, this is Such Good Shoot, the podcast about anything and everything in the world of wrestling. Up there, we have my main man, Isaac, bringing you all the stuff from the new school. Well, wait, he ain't new school.
Are you drunk? Old
school,
are you
man.
Drunk already?
God damn, man.
And he's the oldest one here. And up here, we have my main man, Shane, bringing us all the stuff from the new school, actual new school shit. Probably got one of them hoppy beers going on, and I'm your boy, Dozer, drinking along with them.
Hell yeah.
Ding, ding, ding. I have a bell sound somewhere, but it's probably not working.
Well, turn your goddamn echo off.
Echo is off.
Man, all right, there we go.
And we
we're here.
Do like an actually live show, I think I would have to enter with "This is the new shit" by Marilyn Manson.
Oh yeah, goes, I would do that song too.
Are you motherfuckers ready for the new shit?
That new shit. Mine would be that song. I think it's Styles P, and it's like it goes like this. It goes, I get high, 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 high. And then he goes,
well, so does Marilyn Manson.
Every day I smoke an ounce and a half. Yeah, but Marilyn Manson is a rapist, and we don't like them. Fuck that.
Oh yeah, I forgot about
that. Yeah, he got.
I did forget. I did forget the cancellation of, and that was a recent one too. That was like
smoke
what, like
weed two, every day.
2 months ago.
Snoop Dogg ain't got canceled yet.
No, Snoop Dogg ain't even been arrested, brother.
Yeah, well, let's drink.
That's an innocent man.
Let's drink one for Marilyn Manson's career. How about that?
No, absolutely not.
Because it's dead. It's dead.
I have an actual RIP for today.
All right, good. Good.
And it gets even better. So today we're here to mourn the loss and rebirth of the Blue Meanie, who had his first death hoax on Sunday.
Good for him.
Cheers, mate.
Meanie. Yeah, I saw
that. And I think I read Sabu's girlfriend died.
Oh yes, not
Super Genie. Yeah.
Super Genie did, which is really sad.
I did.
An EC double OG right there.
Double drinking tonight. I like it.
Well, I think we should do first things first, and it looks like Shane's actually got his phone out and he's getting ready for Sheik of the Week.
Yes.
I'm excited because I get to light my blunt.
Two wrongs make a fucking jabroni. That's one of them. let's see. The Paul George worse than the George Costanza. Following the NBA as we have the past couple weeks. George Paul apparently did not play very well.
I heard, yeah. I heard George Costanza is better. Dozer's very excited about that. Our crowd is very excited about that. So, yeah, that was...
Beth said it was booing.
Really? Well, here's another question that we already know the answer to, and we're going to boo anyway. But, Shane, have you watched They Live?
I have not watched They Live at all.
Boo! All right. That's the end of that segment.
ain't happened.
I feel like we're obligated to briefly talk about the shit show that was Hell in a Cell.
Dozer, did you ever end up watching the Alexa Bliss match?
She was in a match? When that happened?
Did you ever watch the segment in which Alexa Bliss and Shayna committed combat against each other? At Hell in a Cell 2021 on last Sunday?
No,
you did not. Okay. Well, real quick, Isaac, rapid fire. I'm gonna bring up the card real quick, but we'll do quick grades, and then we'll yell at each other about the Alexa Bliss segment.
Okay. And then I do have Trent Wild Thing Richards was actually in the Thunderdome that night, and I do have some quick clips from inside the Thunderdome, some exclusive stuff for SGS. Some of the production notes for the crowd can be heard. And we're going to play a couple of those clips for people to check out.
Are we doing that?
All right.
Are we doing that? Oh, yeah, I was going to say. Hell in a Cell first.
Okay, let's talk about it first.
Bianca versus Bayley. Bianca Belair defeating Bayley inside Hell in a Cell. Isaac, rating.
1.5. One and a half. Yeah, it was fine. There was a couple of spots that were all right, but other than that, it was like, why the fuck is it in a cell? It would have been fine if it wasn't. So one. I'm gonna give it a one because fuck that shit. I hated it when I watched it live.
You're out of your mind to only give it a one because it was truly like an all right match and definitely didn't need to be in Hell in a Cell. And I think being in a Hell in a Cell hurt it. But I think that the work itself was like pretty good. It was like a three. It's like a three.
All right.
Applicable.
Dozier didn't watch this shit. He's smarter than us.
Seth Rollins defeating Cesaro by pinfall.
That was a good match. That was a good. That was a solid three for three, three. Yeah, 3.25.
It was not as exciting as it should have been. That probably is because there was no crowd comparative to at WrestleMania, mm-hmm. where we saw the same match. They did have a crowd. Mm-hmm. I also think it sucks that they did 2 out of 3 booking again. They should have just had Cesaro beat him twice and move on and make a statement. But regardless, even not being as exciting as what it should have been, it was still a 3-star match because I think that's the worst these two can do.
Yeah, it was good.
Alexa Bliss defeating Shayna.
1/4 star. It was a match.
Was it?
Was it?
Was it?
Yeah.
Did the bell ring?
Yes. Yeah, there was a pinfall.
It was a 1/4 star. Going by my official rating standards, it's a 1/4 star.
Yeah, no, it is absolutely a 1/4 star contest. I cannot be more angry with WWE.
Unbelievably bad.
It's really bad. It's so bad.
I hate it. It sucks so much. It sucks.
I mean, it's been like the issue was is it came like in the middle of the show after already having like a couple letdown matches. And again, not that like the matches were bad, but them punting you in the face with this shit is really bad. Sami Zayn defeating Kevin Owens by way of pinfall.
That was a good match too. I think another 3, 3.25.
Yeah, I mean it's literally the same thing as Seth versus Cesaro, but I think this one was a little better. I think this was like a 3.25, but again, that's like pretty much the worst you can do is with a Sami Zayn Kevin Owens match. Charlotte defeating Rhea by DQ.
That one was another 3.25. It was pretty good. I'd say right around there. I don't know. This whole pay-per-view had me pretty soured.
Yeah, it was, I don't know, man. It was just kind of like there. They somehow made me not care about Rhea, and that sucks. I don't know if it was just like the heel versus heel and them just being annoying, because it's that way, but it didn't captivate me. It was like 2 and 2.5, maybe. Like, it wasn't bad, but... and then you had the match of the night, I think everyone would agree, large Robert Lashley versus Big Drew.
As far as match of the night goes, yeah, but I mean, it still wasn't like, I mean, as far as a Hell in a Cell contest, 3.5 stars.
I think it was a little bit better than that. I would give it like a 3.75 to a 4. I hated the finish when it happened, but the more I'm thinking about it, the more I actually kind of like it. Like, they're just like depriving people of like a really violent finish because Bobby's a heel and it'll just make people dislike him even more. So I don't know. I kind of dig it now that I'm thinking about it, but yeah, it was like a 3.25. I mean, 3.75.
All right. I still say 3.25, but so I did. Trent didn't start recording until like, I don't know, maybe 3/4 of the way into this thing. So I did get a couple of quotes, like basically what you'll hear, I'm going to play a couple of these clips. What you'll hear is basically the normal TV broadcast that you would get. It was about a minute, maybe a minute and a half ahead of everybody else. But, and then on top of that broadcast, you'll just hear a little voice pop up and, tell you kind of what to do and what they want you to do, which was really bizarre because it came on first during the, end of the, or like when I jumped in, it was the Sami Zayn match. And so I just heard like, let's hear those boos for Sammy. And I was like, what the fuck was that? Right. And then I hear, let's keep the boos going for this jerk. And I had to write these down because I was like, is this fucking for real? And then, yeah. All right, everyone. Here comes the queen. Big booze for Charlotte. Let's get some more booze behind Charlotte. And yeah, and fucking, so they were like really getting into that. And there was like a lot of like telling people to boo. And then big cheers for the Raw Women's Champ Ripley when she won and when she came out. That was like the kind of stuff. But here, I'll play this little clip here. This is like coming back into the Thunderdome. He had told everyone, go take a 2-minute break. And so he's just getting people amped up, coming back in.
Has never competed.
Coming back into the Thunderdome in 3, 2, 1. Here we go, everybody. Here's our main event. The cage is lowering. The Hell in a Cell is lowering.
It is all about. It is.
So yeah, it's like basically, it's like okay, that was like when I was trying to think like, why is this guy in here? Because it's like literally what the announcers are saying.
Dude, you were taking orders from fucking Kevin Dunn straight up, brother.
It was weird. I don't think it was Kevin Dunn because I didn't hear fucking any fucking teeth in the way. I'm gonna play this next one. This next one made me laugh because it's a bit of a botch on this guy's part, and it reminds me of a certain video by a certain somebody who forgot a certain other somebody's last name and called him champion instead.
No.
Yeah, this is very inside, but all right, here we go.
Here comes WWE Champion, the Almighty.
I just loved that he botched.
Wow.
Here come. It's just like so dead, dude.
He's not excited at all. It was probably the new writer they hired.
He's in the production trailer, whoever he was, but because this last one I'm going to play is like the end of the show. It's the outro. And there's like a moment, and I really wish that it was a better audio, because there's a moment, and I swear it sounds like Jerry Lawler. I've listened to it a bunch, and I can't figure out what's being said other than this, but he goes something along the lines, I really wish we would have rehearsed, and then the guy talks for a second, and then you also hear another guy going like, yeah, man, I'm sorry about that. So let me line this last one up here.
It's played tonight. Never.
Going off the air, everybody. Let's see that energy go off the air. 3, 2, 1. We are off the air, everybody. Great job right tonight. Thank you, guys. Thunderdome. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. All right. Remember to sign up for Raw tomorrow night. Thunderdome. Thank you, and good night, everybody.
So yeah, there's like it was kind of cool being in there just to like for those weird little moments of fucking behind the scenes shit. But yeah, so I enjoyed that. Oh, what? I mean, am I missing something? Am I missing something?
It might be.
All right. Well, if I am, then fuck it. But anyway, that was a little inside the Thunderdome with fucking Trent Richards, and that's what's going on. If you actually get into the Thunderdome, is you have producers in your ears like they are with fucking Michael Cole.
That'd be pretty rad. Oh, brother.
I want to report. Apparently on Facebook, we are down because WWE has flagged us.
Oh, shit.
Oh, wait, no, we might be back. We have one watcher.
Oh, shit. Are we on the YouTube?
I think we are on the YouTube.
Oh, goodness gracious. There's nothing else we can do about that, is there? Unless we just start over, and then we'd have to start a whole new broadcast.
I want to try something. I'm going to try something here, everybody.
I'm sorry I broke the show. Fuck. I thought we were doing some real... They are on that shit. Like, fuck.
Yeah, them. Dude. I saw it, and I was like, well...
It was crazy because it was all... I was all under 15 seconds.
Yes, and they matched fair. 42 seconds of it.
Which is under fair use, but it's not in a row, and it's bullshit.
Yes, well, but it was in a segment you are purely not allowed to record.
Apparently, well, fuck Kevin Dunn. He probably got mad. Well, I guess we should we talk about should we talk about the other thing or what?
Yeah, give me a second. We're still recording, so we got that, and I'm working on some shit here. We are back live. We are back live.
Welcome back. I'm sorry. Oh. I'm sorry.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back.
This is what happens when Trent Richards gets involved with anything we do, man. It's just trouble. It's just fucking trouble. Holy shit, dude. I'm fucking dying here. All right. Well, talk about going off the rails. That's how it's fucking done.
You accidentally get booted off of Facebook for a day.
Yeah. That was awesome.
For five minutes. You know what? I think it's time. We're just going to do it live. We're going to do it old school. We ain't got anybody coming in for this tonight. We got Dozers. Question of the week. And this week's question of the week brought to you by Johnners Wrestling with Johnners Wrestling Podcast Network, Thingamabobby. Go to WrestlingWithJohnners.com. And this week's question of the week, has the Hell in a Cell lost all meaning?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get a better Hell in a Cell match sometimes. Like, again, I think the Lashley versus Drew match was appropriately, tempered, and you know they had built up enough. But like we talked about a little bit earlier, I mean, Bayley versus Bianca was just insane to be inside Hell in a Cell. Just insane that they thought that like rivalry and feud had enough heat. I mean, back in my day, Triple H and Shawn Michaels went 48 minutes in that motherfucker, and I was there to see it live. he waved at my mom on the way out, if you guys didn't know. Aww, that's an inside joke with Wade.
Well, what about Schiavone? Was Schiavone ever wave at your mom or anything?
Oh, I don't know. I do believe that my mother and father did attend a WCW event together at one point. So
I think the question is more a wink. Wink or a nod, you know? I got to say, with fucking Schiavone, young Schiavone here, I got to say with Hell in a Cell, it's really hard because what can you do with a Hell in a Cell that Mick Foley hasn't already done? There's nothing that they can do that's ever going to top what's been done. So they're going to have these moments where they try, and like it's going to be guys that like shouldn't be taking those bumps like Shane McMahon did the last time they did it, which was a crazy cage bump, no doubt. But good Lord, dude, was that Hell in a Cell or was that just a cage match? I can't remember. I think it was just a cage match, but it was still, he got thrown inside onto the fucking mat. That shit was gnarly.
That rattled his insides, man. That was just bad.
But like, it's still like you've seen Foley go through the cage twice. He almost died a few times. Like, I just don't think there's any limits that they can push anymore on it. And if you're gonna use it, you can't use it four times in like 3 days, five times.
Yeah, I mean, it does have to be special. I don't mind like Money in the Bank being its own pay-per-view as much. I mean, because like, you know, that shit comes once a year. You know what I mean? So it sucks that they took it off WrestleMania, but whatever. I understand. It's a huge attraction, but Hell in a Cell doesn't need to be like in a planned month every single year. You just need to plunk it in there for huge situations. And I don't even mind seeing like one Hell in a Cell a year. I really don't. They can keep, you know what I mean?
It should be part of another pay-per-view, and it should be one match a year. And with was it TLC,
yeah, right?
Or the Money in the Bank? I guess it's sort of, yeah, the Money in the Bank one. With the Money in the Bank one, it's like you can only have so many Money in the Bank matches. You can have basically like two.
Yeah, two. And I don't mind the two at all.
Yeah, it's a little much, but I don't mind it unless they do it with a food fight.
Yo, Paul Heyman was there. Stop. You love Paul Heyman.
Mm-hmm.
Just because we love Paul Heyman doesn't mean he deserved to be in that match.
Dozer, you and I both liked it. I
did,
totally...
but I did not. Why?
I liked it. Why not, dude? More Paulie.
Man, yeah. Fat guy jokes. That's Vince's. That's Vince's. Like, he loves that shit. He loves fat jokes. And he loves fucking fart jokes.
He absolutely does. But I
if
think
you sneeze around him, good luck.
Nothing good is going to happen. But I think it's time. Is it time for the main event?
Yeah, let's do it.
So tonight's main event is we're reviewing NXT R Evolution. This pay-per-view took place in December of 2014. I don't have the exact date in front of me because I am ill-prepared tonight.
I believe it was December the 11th, I believe, for my Shane's Secret Stash, which you can go look at right now on sgspod.com. I talked about...
Suchgoodshoot.com. Suchgoodshoot.com.
I'm very sorry. Suchgoodshoot.
Scrolling at the bottom
almost,
there.
You were almost as good as DDJ on that one.
Oh, I tried to cut in with the quick, and it just didn't work. But
You got real close.
I write about a bunch of like championships and stuff. The people who performed tonight ended up, in most part, being pretty fucking important.
Yeah, it was one of the most pivotal pay-per-views in wrestling history, almost. It's crazy to say that for an NXT pay-per-view.
And in a lot of ways, because of the quality of some of the shit on this pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I spent about half of my time just shaking my head. Being like, what? Like, fuck, man, get your shit together, guys. And then the other half being like, oh, yeah, okay, this is NXT again. Yeah, okay, we got this.
Like I said, we're real early here, boys. We're real early.
But going back, like, man, starting at the beginning, can we just start with this Kevin O'Jay Parker? And what a fucking great opening match. And honestly, for me, like, an incredible debut match for Kevin Owens. Like, fucking... Okay, that's a long one. Right,
I'm working on how to stop him. If I press it again, it just restarts.
Yeah,
okay?
He doesn't know how to stop him. So, but this, for a debut match for Kevin Owens, like, can you imagine somebody looking tougher then fucking Kevin Owens getting his nose split open by CJ Parker with that palm strike and still just like cleaning house. He did like, you know, he does the dive over the top ropes. To the senton or whatever outside, which was fucking awesome. And you're like, holy shit, never seen a big man fucking fly like this kind of shit. And then, yeah, what? Dude, to take that and that you heard that palm strike. That thing was fucking vicious.
Yeah, it was right to his nostril.
Mm-hmm. And he broke his nose. He got stitches, and later he was fucking dripping blood still. But dude, he fucking looked tough as hell. And goddamn, like I don't think like the thing that stuck through my mind by the time of the end of the pay-per-view was KO through the whole thing, because he looked so incredibly strong in this pay-per-view, and what a debut in a way to like make a guy look fucking incredible. They got it right.
Yeah. I also, it was fun to rewatch this because he does a couple moves in this match that he's kind of cut out since going to the main roster, but he did all the time on NXT. I don't remember exactly what the move's called, but in this match he does like the dead drop brain buster neck breaker deal, which is just nasty. It's such a cool move. But yeah, I mean, it was just a really good way to like put Kevin Owens over big. The crowd obviously didn't need it. Probably most people watching NXT at this point didn't need to like be introduced to who Kevin Owens is. Obviously now that like it's a bigger brand, you know, you get a lot more, you know, people that don't watch indies or whatever, you know, so they're just watch WWE, AEW, whatever. But even back then they thought they needed to, and it was good. It was, how long was it? 3 minutes and 14 seconds. Kevin Owens killed him. He looked tougher than shit 3 out of 5, because it wasn't much of an actual match, but like it was so perfect for what it was.
So I took notes while I was doing it, just star ratings, because I was really enjoying it. I started out at 2.5. halfway through the pay-per-view I changed it to 2.75. at the end of the pay-per-view I changed it to 3. No, I'm serious, because it stuck with me like that. Like, I'm just like, God damn, dude. Like,
well, it helps just, that they come back to it at the end too.
But even, like, but even still, like before, I knew what was coming, but even before that, like halfway through the main event, I was still like, God damn, dude, that was fucking, I kept thinking about it. And I was like, it deserves more than that. So 3, I agree. And because I agree, I'm going to take a nice big drink, but I'm with you. I'm fucking,
I just
with
took
you.
A drink. I thought that you would rate it a 2. I thought you'd be a little bit more harsh on the action.
I remember when I watched this the first time, and the thing that stuck with me from that and from this still again was him taking that pop. If he hadn't gotten his nose split open, it would have been probably a two, because it would have just been like a kind of a semi-boring squash match. It would have been a little exciting, but it would have been a squash match. But yes. getting his face split open changed the whole dynamic of it.
And he wipes it and looks at it and then just kills him. Yeah,
and it takes it to another level. It might have even been a 3.5 if it hadn't been for the orange ref. Just kidding.
Yes, but we may hate on Mr. Orange, Cheeto Ref here, but it should be noted, he is a longtime friend of Kevin Owens. That is one of his best friends from the indies right there.
I mean, I was going to say that. I mean, that would make sense. I mean, given Drake Younger, as he was known in the indies, was like a CZW guy, and Kevin Owens hung out a little bit in CZW.
Yeah, but he was nowhere near the Hall of Famer of Drake Younger there.
Oh, well, no. I mean, Drake Younger is a legend. Dozer, would you rate this match?
I bet four.
Ooh.
I like this match.
I thought you'd give it a two. I need to hone in on your ratings more.
Dozer is, yeah, dude. Dozer, here's the thing. Dozer has a D5 on the fucking desk.
Yeah, dude, I just like I can usually get close to Isaac. I'm usually pretty, at least kind of in tune. With Dozer, I'm like, man, I think he's going to agree with Isaac on this one, because that happens a lot.
I kind of agreed with him. He gave it higher than you thought, too.
Well, yeah, no. I'm just saying, you were out of the... Hey, go ahead.
You got our agreement. I love the action. The fact that it was short really made Kevin feel like the beast he is, the beast he still should be every time he enters. The blood to the next level, it felt good. It felt right. That's how it should be. It's a 4-star match any day of the week.
Man, I love the Dozer. That was some fire, brother. I felt that in my soul. I want to rate it higher because of the speech.
Man. Oh, shit.
It's the new microphone.
We already drank, all right, for agreeing. No.
It's...
So what was next? Next was fucking Lucha
Dragons.
Dragons against the VOD villains.
Yes. What a
Dude. Like, I do like the Salida del Sol as a finish. That's a nice
little
finish.
It's so good. You remember when he hit that through one of the Usos in like 2015 through the ladder, dude?
That was so fucking sick.
What a good match, man. What a good match that was. This match,
yeah,
though.
This match was fucking, yeah. I feel like I overrated it. I'm just going to go ahead because there's really nothing memorable about it.
No.
And I feel like it's overrated at 1 star. But, I mean, it wasn't like... I don't know, dude. I'm going to say 1 star because I feel like it does maybe deserve that. And it was better than fucking... It was better than what was going to come next.
Boom, baby! Yo, Isaac, I said you were going to give it a one. I'm the best.
I literally have 1.25 written down here, and I talked myself down to one.
So, I remember watching this match back in 2014. I think it was my first introduction to the Vault Villain. And I just remember sitting there watching them going, I like these guys. They got something. They don't got main roster something. But they got something. And you know what? I still like Aiden English. And you really got to check out his channel, Wrestling with Whiskey. It's fucking awesome.
All right.
But, you know, I'm a whiskey guy. The match itself, as I said, I remember that thinking the Vault Villains ain't going to be much.
They're going to be somebody, but not somebody.
And you know what? I don't think I was too wrong there. And I still don't remember the match. So... I don't remember. Can I give it a star rating?
Yes.
Let's see.
You have to because
I made a prediction. Yeah, dude. Come on.
Die says 0.5.
I thought you were going to give it a 2 because I remember how much you like the VOD villains. I was like,
I do love the VOD villains.
I was like, it's going to be a 1-star match, but like he's going to give it a 2. Yeah, as far as this match goes, I mean, there wasn't anything exceptionally terrible, but there was really nothing memorable. The VOD villains hadn't really hit their stride yet. They would really find that with against Enzo and Big Cass when they brought in like Blue Pants, and then they'd have some they'd have a couple good matches with some other teams that hung around that time. You end up with a pretty short title reign that we'll get to eventually.
Which is funny because fucking Gotch and Enzo have fucking notorious fucking heat with each other.
Yeah, Simon Gotch would beat the piss out of them.
Can we get two of them in the ring at CZW? No, GCW, a GCW main event match right now. Let's go.
Yeah, but I gave it like a 1.5 because there wasn't anything that like was bad. So I didn't feel right giving it a 1, but it was so unmemorable. It was just like a 1 and, you know, whatever, man. Skip this match.
Yeah, I feel like
I'm just going to do a timeout here for a second and talk about what I like about wrestling. Wrestling match ratings at least use the whole fucking scale. Whereas so many other things, when you see ratings, cigars, whiskey, doesn't matter what the hell. 100-point scale, but really anything below a 90's trash.
Yeah.
I appreciate that wrestling uses the whole scale. And, you know, a 3-star match doesn't necessarily mean you don't want to go back and rewatch it. Now, a 0.5 and a 1-star match, you're probably never going to watch again.
But that's the point of having
star rating.
Yeah, like honest shit. I mean, because, you know, if I look at a pay-per-view and I've never seen it or whatever, and there's like a 5-star match, a 3-star match, and then like a 4.5-star match, I'm just keeping the shit on. You know what I mean? If it's a 3-star match right after a 4.5-star match, whatever, man. I trust this, I trust this pay-per-view. I'm sure it's good. Move on.
But I think as we move on here, there have been allusions to this match. And you know what? Here it is. We have Baron Corbin taking on Ty fucking Dillinger.
Babyface, little like, dude, Randy Orton off a Wish fucking Ty Dillinger.
This is like 2 steps after he was, what was his name? Shane or whatever, who got super kicked? Stan.
Yeah, Stan. Stan. Yeah, hey, Stan.
I just
super kicked Stan.
That's incredible. And it's so fucking funny that like something that memorable meme wise ended up actually wrestling and putting in decent work for NXT. I mean, you know, nothing too special, but
yeah, I like these.
I'm going to get my opinion out of the way real quick because I think I'm going to judge this less harshly than you two will. I vividly remember what this match is setting up for, which is Bull Dempsey versus Baron Corbin. This was like right when I started watching NXT at first. So I have like really fond memories of this. The match is just a squash. He absolutely kills Ty Dillinger. He is not even the perfect 10 yet. He is just the Ty Dillinger. But I give it a 1 because I really enjoyed the stare down after the match between Big Bull and Baron Corbin. I don't care.
Okay.
It's part of the match package.
Okay, you can.
We can rate it if we want.
Sure.
Especially rate, when the match is less than a fucking minute long.
Rate the whole package. Go for it.
That's what she said.
41 seconds.
And they stopped counting at some point. I don't know, dude. It just was like, it was a mess. I fucking hated it. The stare down was fine, but like the match itself, the entrance was more interesting than anything that happened in between fucking then and the fucking the stare down. And it was barely a match. And if you guessed, 0.25, you were right. I wrote 0.25.
I rated it the same for both of you, actually. So Dozer.
Well, you know what? I'm instituting a rule that I've already broken within this podcast tonight. And that rule is, each second can count for 0.01 of a match of a star rating. So the max this can get is 0.41 stars. It doesn't get that. It gets 0.25.
Whoop, 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 whoop.
I actually predicted that both of you would give this a 0.
We don't give zeros.
Listen, brother, I felt it deep in my nutsack, to be honest.
We don't have zeros here. Zero. There is no zero star unless it's maybe an Eva Marie match from NXT.
All right. So
maybe I'll give a 0 for one of those. But
has Eva Marie ever actually fought in a match?
Yeah, she's had some matches.
So am I right? Oh. Am I right with 0 then? Because I think I'm right, technically. 0 is the worst. I mean, and, you know, you guys rated it the worst.
0.25 would be technically right.
So,
but I still drank.
Right.
What do we have to do when you guess both of us correctly? What's the punishment here?
I've already gotten us kicked off Facebook once. Don't get too crazy now.
I'm just going to finish my drink. You don't have to. I'm going to do it because why the fuck not?
If he guesses my next one, I will finish my drink.
Okay. Real quick, y'all, just remember my words if you can.
And I've got it written down, so I won't cheat. I'm going to stick by the one I've written down.
The Baron Corbin versus Bull Dempsey match is a lot of fucking fun. It's like 7 minutes long. For whatever reason, I have really vivid memories of this match, but it's a fucking ball of fire for the 7 minutes it's there. It's pretty fucking good.
I'm fine with that, but Jesus Christ. Like, no. And I don't even mind some of the shorter matches where the crowd is counting, but like, cause that's fun. But like, once you get to like 30 seconds, it sort of starts losing its fucking interest. And once Bull Dempsey came out, the crowd stopped counting and it's like, It just sort of lost all fucking mojo in it. But yeah, so 0.25. But the next one.
Wait here. That is so loud.
It's so good.
That brings us into Finn Balor and Hideo Itami taking on The Ascension for half of this match.
Shane, go ahead. Go ahead. Please.
I don't know, dude. The yay after the Ascension really got me. That was pretty fucking funny. This was like a pretty good match. Obviously, this is Finn's first takeover match. He debuted specifically to help Hideo Itami out against the Ascension, which really doesn't make sense because Hideo beat both of them up by himself in a suit the first time he debuted, which was the last takeover that we reviewed a couple months ago. But, I mean, as far as a match itself, man, let me tell you, seeing the Demon come out for the first time and just, like, hear, like, the startled shock over the audience when he starts making his entrance, and then they just pop, super cool. It was weird to see them not doing the hand movement deal. That hadn't started yet, Yeah, I mean, the Ascension aren't very good, to be honest, in-ring. They're just worse Legion of Doom. But, like, they were wrestling Hideo Itami and Finn Balor. So it was a good match, and the right guys won, I guess. It's like a 3 out of 5. It was worth watching, but not exceptional.
I do have to say,
Yeah, that was a cool thing that they had for a while.
DJ, was CM Punk gone by this point? Yeah,
he had just left.
So
it was shortly. That's why the crowd started booing like crazy.
So the GTS was a solid no go. Vince would have lost his fucking mind. Got it.
Yeah, he was. They really saved that one. I think he used it maybe twice the whole time he was in WWE.
Yeah, they waited, I think.
It was a while. They really teased that one out.
It might have been up until he had his NXT Championship match with Bobby Roode, and I think Bobby Roode kicked out of it. Or maybe the first person.
Yeah, whoever he gave it to kicked out because they were definitely trying to give the finger to Punk. But okay, here's my thoughts on the match. When I first watched it, and I'm talking when like it first aired fucking however many years ago, this is a match that I marked out for because of who was got it. You know, like if I could have gone back and watched it through those eyes, I would have given it a really good rating. I'm giving it a 1.5.
Oh, really? See, I thought you'd give it a 2.5.
And I'm going to tell you why, because literally the whole time, and I started talking about this with Dozer earlier, and I'm going to tell you why, because the whole time, all I'm thinking is you have Hideo Itami in his first match on NXT, and you have Finn Balor in his first ever appearance on WWE TV as the Demon, right? You have these two guys booked together in a fucking match, and instead of putting them against each other, you've put them in a fucking just thrown together tag team so you can have a feel good finish moment. And I'm sorry, at that point, sure, that's fun. But in retrospect, in hindsight, what happened with Hideo, the way they've mishandled fucking Balor on the main roster, I honestly think that if they had started off with fucking Hideo coming out with an unknown challenger for his first, and then the fucking music hits and it's the Demon coming out and it's fucking Demon versus Hideo Itami for the fucking... I think the roof would have come off the place.
I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. I don't think you can rate it for that. You go from there.
Yeah, I don't think you can rate the match for that, because this was like a pretty, if you put yourself in 2014 NXT shoes, this was like a really huge match, because the Ascension was still like a very serious thing then. Like,
it absolutely was, but to Isaac's point, we're not in 2014. We get to review this with rose-colored glasses.
I mean, and that's the thing, that was the qualification. That's my qualification, is I'm reviewing it for watching it, which I actually did shortly before this. And again, I just was like, all I wanted the whole match, and it left me disappointed, was I didn't want the fucking, like you were saying, they're not very good. They're not very good. They're not good enough to wrestle those two, the Ascension. They're not fucking good enough.
They're not good enough to be jobbers for them. I hear what you're saying.
And if you have them both, you're like, we're going to put them in the same segment. We're going to have a match with them both in it. Show like those guys. Are you telling me that they can't go against each other and put out a 5-star match?
I mean, they probably could, but again,
did they wrestle before that in Japan? I bet they did.
I mean, I'm well, no, probably not, because Balor was New Japan and Hideo was pro wrestling Noah. Oh, they might have wrestled. I mean, they might have wrestled somewhere, but they weren't in the same company. So
all I'm saying is that I think the two of them could have put on something that would have been like 1,000 times better than what we got.
Yeah, and you're right. But Dozer, I think you were really going somewhere with the where do you go from that, you know, comment. Yeah. Because I agree with you. You like, do you turn both of them? Do you turn one of them heel and then have two non baby faces? Like, that's what they needed.
And I don't think in this situation, when you have two talents of this level, you can have their first matches, even if it's to each other. It shouldn't be a loss. Now, could they have picked a better fucking tag team? Maybe. But as Shane said, the Ascension were hot in the day. They may be shit, but they were hot.
Yeah, I mean, they were over, man. Ha! Ha!
But they hadn't won. They had been on pretty much every takeover that we've watched, and they hadn't won none of them.
Which yeah, because proves, especially in NXT, you don't need the win to be over, which further goes to your point.
They won the first one because they beat Ricardo Rodriguez in a mask.
Okay.
El Loco.
All I know is that what I really wanted watching it back was something that I didn't get, and it left me feeling incredibly disappointed. And I'm sticking with my 1.5.
You can't always get what you want.
No.
What do you rate it?
But when I don't get it, I'm going to give it shit.
Well, you know,
unless I'm at a restaurant, then I'll be really polite.
Sometimes these matches are just total scams. But I think I'm going to give it a 3.01.
Dozer, you and I agree, man. I rated it a 3. And also, I said you were going to rate it a fucking 3. I'm good at this shit, baby.
You didn't get a 3.01.
Well, Dozer, listen, man. We have to round up or down with you, to the nearest point.
You and your accountant arithmetic, dude. I swear to God, dude, you Italian Catholics are basically Jews.
We are. My mother said when she was alive, God rest her soul, she sounded like an old Jewish woman half the time. She would even go, you got a little schmutz on your face. So,
oh, a little schmutzy butzy. Oh, let me get that booby.
Yeah. My mother's half Yiddish half the time. So
Isaac is true.
Yes, full disclaimer. Full disclaimer.
Shirt available on suchgoodshoot.com/merch.
Dude, go to it. Go check it out. It's at the bottom of the screen. Go buy the shirt. I'm Jewish with Isaac. Then you can make fun of Jews too. As long as you're wearing the shirt. You take the shirt off and you lose the pass.
Does not apply to
Yeah, watch out. Watch out in all of New Jersey, honestly.
So match number 5. Okay.
Can I say this? This for me is where everything fucking really fucking turned on a fucking another level. Goddamn, match number 5.
This is where we have the queen, Charlotte. Though she's not quite the queen, she is the queen. And taking on the one, the incomparable.
Oh, we're going to get DCMA'd again.
It won't be my fault this time, though.
Yes, but this is just audio. They match the video clips for you.
I bet some scumbag fucking Canadian reported it.
I don't know. I ain't speculating on that.
break back, Mick Hummel. Fuck your ass.
So I wanna take over real quick, just for the start of this match. Don't join the Dark Order. but it was surreal watching this match just to see these two ladies wrestle for like the first major time in WWE, because we've seen it so many times since. We have seen it over and just over again.
And it's just so good.
Yeah, just an absolute insane amount. Real quick, if everyone didn't know, and I think that this was the most interesting thing about these two ladies, was like Charlotte would go on to hold 2, 3, 7, 12, 13 women's championships in WWE, and Sasha Banks would go on to own 1, 6, 7, 9. Nine WWE championships. They have 22 total title reigns between the two, in like 1,350 days, 1,350 days total, where those two are champions, you know, separately of each other.
Is that including all their tag titles and shit?
Yeah, that includes their tag title runs. But 1,350 days, these two ladies have held championships in WWE.
Yeah, my biggest critique of this match is Sasha's hair. It looks the cornrows in the front does not a good look. It makes her look bald to the back. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I thought the match itself was it was pretty good. I definitely don't think I'm as high on it as Isaac is.
I had a lot of fun. I'm still my rating is probably you might actually guess my rating right on this, and I'll finish this cup of booze if you do, but. I had a lot of fun. At this point, I remember watching it and being a big Sasha Banks fan, not as high up on Charlotte. I remember thinking Charlotte wasn't as polished as everyone thought she was. Watching it back now, I think I was stupid because goddamn it, Charlotte was fucking just as fucking clean as she is today back then. Really good, really fucking good, which surprises me because I swear to God, like, and maybe it's later on that I noticed some shit, but this match was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. Is it as good as the Bayley match at Brooklyn?
Not even close.
But for a women's match in what, 2015?
2014.
2014, a women's match in 2014, this was a barn burner. Watching it back today, my score is 3.5.
I guess 3.25.
You're very close.
Yes.
You're very close.
But I agree with you. I Charlotte definitely was silky smooth still back then, but I don't really think she had hit her stride as far as like her move set and her mannerisms.
No,
and that definitely took me out, man. I'll tell you what though. Sasha hits a nasty, nasty fucking backstabber into like a into like some hold, and I was
bank statement.
It wasn't a bank statement. No. She had her like folded over backwards, like on her knees, because she kept
even
it.
even the dive out of the ramp where fucking Charlotte's outside and she dove out. I mean, that was a gnarly one too. No, they really like. This is the thing about this time is it really was a point where like these women in NXT, especially like you could just tell that like they had something to prove. There was no like this was before the women's revolution started even.
Yeah, they probably had the worst producer on NXT at the time on this match, to be honest. Because there's probably some producer that like wasn't helping. You know what I mean? Like in any way, shape, or form, they weren't like giving helpful hints.
I don't know. I wonder
no way.
I wonder if Ric Flair helped on this one because he was there. You don't think Ric Flair was in there helping?
I'm sure he helped fucking Charlotte, dude. There's no way he helped fucking Sasha in anything, dude. 0% chance, brother.
I gotta say whatever you want to say about. whatever you want to say about Ric Flair, right? And he is an incredible wrestler, but I will say that his current girlfriend, Wendy Kidder, is an incredibly, incredibly sweet human being. And I want to thank her for her really polite decline on doing our podcast. So just, this is a fucking special announcement.
Oh yeah, man. For whenever she sees this, absolutely. Anyways,
no, we are not getting Ric Flair is basically the announcement.
I gave this match a 3.5. I enjoyed it a lot. It's not the best match that they would ever wrestle, but for 2014, yeah,
it was pretty good. We agreed.
Really, the past. I'm going to rate this one as if this was their only match to date, and I'm giving it a.
Wow.
I enjoyed it.
Give me 1 second. I will. I thought you rated a 3. I thought you'd be lower on this one. I'm just off today.
Wow. All right. So we are down to the last match.
Those are what is it? Event.
Oh, this is Sammy versus Adrian.
No, Adrian. Neville. Yeah, he was Adrian.
Adrian's Neville. He had two names, and he had balls, and goddamn,
he didn't have a cape.
No.
The storytelling in this match, and I really think this is the end of this match into what happens with Kevin Owens, I think is the turning point in early NXT. You went from, oh, this is like a really good, like glorified, like indie promotion. And I don't mean that in a negative way. But like that's kind of how NXT felt, with like a lot of like the short, squashes and just weird matches that they would put on takeovers. From this point on, you got pretty much all killer on NXT takeovers, at least killer in the way that they had spent actual time building a matchup, not like a Ty Dillinger versus whatever, or vaudevillains and Lucha Dragons.
Half the card, honestly. Even the fucking last tag match with fucking Hideo and like still felt thrown together.
It was like, not at all. Like having watched it, it wasn't thrown together, brother.
The tag, I'm sorry.
At least set it up.
Felt to get like sort of just thrown together. Did they ever fight together again? They weren't a tag team. Let's just put it that way. So they were thrown together.
Yeah, they did spend a considerable amount of time like building it up. Even if you just look at it from like a Hideo Itami perspective, you know what I mean? Like they spent time building this up. I mean, we saw it start on the last takeover, and that was
I'm not talking about like each individual being built up, but I'm talking about that tag team. Like it just didn't, like it was like, oh, let's put these two guys, and I know we're going backwards, but let's put these two guys who are both new in a tag team. And honestly,
they would do that on NXT today, and I guarantee you it. I think
if they had a guy like fucking Finn Balor debuting as main character, he wouldn't be sharing the spotlight with the other guy who is debuting. I think they'd be a lot smarter in the way they booked it. I'm sorry, I really do. I don't think they would have debuted both of those things at the same time.
But they have a different view of the indies back
then. No, I get that.
Their view, you were the best garbage.
I think that's changed.
It has.
I mean, it definitely has. I could still see them though. If they have two big, bro, think about, Honestly,
they think they would take like Bobby Roode and Shinsuke Nakamura and put them together for both of their debuts? Or are they going to debut them both separately on NXT?
No. You ready for this? Never forget that they kind of did the same thing with Roderick Strong, Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, and Adam Cole. They, Red Dragon, Bobby and Kyle debuted earlier in the night jumping someone, and then they re-came out after the main event of the show that night, and Adam Cole debuted on the opposite side of them. They lumped them together for no reason. Hell, if you look at the history of like Adam Cole versus Bobby Fish versus Kyle O'Reilly, Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly fought forever. for the Ring of Honor Championship. And obviously it was a little different because they clearly had long-term plans for the Undisputed Era, whereas this was you know, a little bit of a thrown together thing.
And all I'm saying is it felt like there was no other plan than like, let's get the crowd really like amped up for both these guys. And there was nothing after.
Well,
Finn Balor got some momentum, but Hideo Itami just fell flat.
But I don't think that was a product of this match. That was a product of how they dealt with it. That match, that's a product of how they dealt with him afterward. But anyways,
let's get back to Sammy and fucking, because this really was the match of the night. It was easily the best thing I saw. And like goddamn, the whole story, like the story they told, Corey Graves hammering down the fact that fucking he never wins. He never wins the big one. He never takes the opportunity. He always fucks it up. And Corey Graves' first time in commentary was incredible. He was good for this.
Also, Alex Riley was not a bad commentator.
I was very shocked.
I always enjoyed him in NXT, and we'll get into him kind of making the change out of commentary, and he'd try to make a comeback, and then he'd get released. But it's a pretty cool story that they tell with him. Yeah.
I don't remember who he was. He was fighting, but didn't someone fuck with him at the desk, and he got into this whole heated thing?
It might have been Samoa Joe. Joe sounds right.
I don't remember, but yeah. But anyway, yeah. Like this match itself, man. Like these two guys, I mean, are incredible workers, and it's crazy to think about how badly both of them have been misused on the main roster. Still being kind of misused on the main roster. But this match, fuck, man. So many incredible spots.
Yeah,
And the story told was just perfect. Perfect.
Yeah, you, towards the end of the match, you had that really cool stalling Blue Thunder bomb by Sami Zayn where he deadlifted him.
Oh, yes, dude. And you didn't even get the mic called Blue Thunder bomb.
Yeah, you had all the normal Sami Zayn hits. Sami Zayn is one of the best fight from behind workers in the industry right now. He's just incredible at losing and just getting beaten up and then eventually making the fiery comeback because he has a ton of really, really poppy moves. You know, the dive through the
he reminds me of Ziggler in that.
Yeah, I mean, and
where he looks incredible. He's an incredible seller. He's great at getting his ass kicked, and you want to root for
him. Yeah, and then you had Neville, who is kind of just like the asshole friend that nobody wants, but pretty much everyone has. You know what I mean? Where like he knows that he's better than you. You know what I mean? And on most days, and you know, like he's just gonna prove it over and over again. It doesn't matter if you're his friend. He's just gonna kick the shit out of you and then say you deserve it. You know, but I love the locker room clearing after the match.
Do you see the first person out of the locker room was Enzo Amore? He was the first person down that ramp. I swear to God, I was shocked. And he was right behind Kevin Owens when fucking Owens was like doing the whole like hugging thing. And he was the first person to shake his hand after Owens.
Yeah, he was probably wanting to get on television.
Yeah, I don't know. Exactly. I don't know, dude. He seemed genuine. Dozer, your mic right now, I can barely hear you. If you just said something, I don't know what's going on, man. Wine? You're drinking wine?
No, my wife is. I think she's in our pool getting fever.
Is she? Wait, with the neighbor lady?
Yeah.
Hooray. Watch out, Trent. Don't show up or fucking Jerry Jacobs.
Oh, no, 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 no. Bad, bad.
Dude, if Jerry shows up.
I give this match a 4.5.
What did you think I would give it?
4.5.
Really?
Shockingly, he nailed my rating dead on.
I gave it a 4.
Oh, see, I figured Dozer would give it a 4, and you give it a 4.5.
I gave it a 4. I gave it a 4 when I wrote it down. Uh-oh. But after all of this, after a little bit of the bubbly, after a little bit of the bubbly, after After, well, I think I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to give it a 4.5 because it was great. Okay. And I'm going to finish my drink because you guessed me right on this one.
All right. 3-way tie. I'm going to down my drink as well. Dozer.
I already downed it.
I was going to say, I think it's time to take us home, man.
Take us home. Oh. Take us home. Take us home. Country roads.
Hold on. But before first,
we got some announcements.
Before we do that, we gotta do one thing real quick. I think next week, right? Next Thursday is fucking July.
Yes, yes, it is.
Alan Kwee-wee Funk. This is gonna be a
professional wrestling.
Yeah, it's gonna be a pre-recorded interview. We're gonna broadcast it live. We're gonna do a little interview, then we're gonna broadcast the interview, and then we're gonna say a little bit after and be on our way. But yeah, Alan Kwee-wee Funk, thank you very much, DDJ, for helping us out getting that one. We're super excited. I know Shane's stoked about this one because OHIO or some shit.
Yeah, Ohio. Yeah,
I don't know. I thought that was what you're supposed to do. Anyway, we're super excited. So tune in next Thursday. We're going to have Kwee-wee on. And then I think should we announce it now? I mean, I guess we might as well because let's fucking do it. We're gonna get Barry Horowitz in the house. Another tribe member, another fellow Jew, Barry Horowitz will be joining us. We'll have the dates. Hey, come on, man, it's true. He is. Pat yourself on the back. Join us for Barry Horowitz. We'll have a date coming up soon. But look forward to that. And we have one other extremely special announcement that we're going to announce the week before that episode because we have a very, very special segment to do. That's all I got other than go to patreon.com/suchgoodshoot, suchgoodshoot.com/merch. And yeah, that's all I got.
And this has been Such Good Shoot. Coming to you from the Creek Studios. Until next time, he's Isaac.
Hi.
He's Shane. I am. Go to www.suchgoodshoot.com. Have a great night.
What the fuck?